Welcome. My name is Dr. Kenneth Sherman, Professor of Medicine at the University of Cincinnati. This is an IAS USA module on the recognition and management of spontaneous bacterial peritonitis. We will be discussing the diagnosis of spontaneous bacterial peritonitis, the management of SBP, indications for SBP prophylaxis, and regimens that can be used for treatment and prophylaxis. The diagnosis of spontaneous bacterial peritonitis will be first. The diagnosis of SBP can be made by use of one of several definitions. These definitions represent a hierarchy. The diagnosis of SBP is 100% when a positive acidic bacterial culture, acidic fluid bacterial culture, is identified. The presence of this trumps measurements of the cell count. However, if the culture is negative, SBP can be diagnosed when the absolute PMN count is at or above 250 cells. A third definition of SBP, if the other two definitions are not met, includes the total white cell count above 500 cells, with no evidence of an intra-abdominal source of infection. There is other terminology that may be applied to the varying presentations, as shown in the next slide. Traditional SBP may be defined as a PMN count greater than 250 with a positive culture. In the literature, one sees reference to culture-negative neutrocytic ascites, which is defined as a cell count greater than 500 with a negative culture, and monomicrobial non-neutrocytic bacteriocytes with a cell count of less than 250, but with the presence of a positive blood culture. We will now talk about the management of SBP. Management of SBP is achieved by a variety of different modalities. Typically, antibiotics are given intravenously for 5 days. The majority of literature that has been evaluated in randomized controlled trials utilizes cefotaxime. However, other third-generation cephalosporins may be used. In patients that are beta-lactam allergic, ciprofloxacin is also acceptable. The literature is filled with regimens of varying degrees of time, ranging from 5 days to as long as 14 days. However, randomized trials have shown that 5 days is sufficient treatment for the majority of patients. Some experts think that a repeat paracentesis 48 to 72 hours after initiation of therapy is indicated to document a significant decrease in the acidic fluid cell count and to look for evidence of bacterial clearance. Absence of clearance or a similar or even higher cell count may indicate the presence of a more complex infection, either with an unusual organism that does not respond to the typical agents used, or to the presence of a secondary bacterial peritonitis, often with mixed culture bacterial infections. In the next slide, we see the effects of albumin infusion at the time of diagnosis and treatment of SBP. In the cited study, patients received cefotaxime or cefotaxime with albumin, dosed at 1.5 grams per kilogram of body weight within 6 hours of the SBP diagnosis, followed by 1 gram per kilogram of body weight on day 3. The use of albumin infusion in conjunction with the antibiotic therapy reduced overall mortality from 29% to 10%, and this difference was statistically significant. For this reason, albumin infusion is recommended in patients undergoing treatment for SBP. We will next look at the indications for SBP prophylaxis. Indications for prophylaxis include the presence of one or more prior episodes of SBP. Some experts believe that prophylaxis is particularly effective in those with a low acidic fluid protein, specifically with protein levels less than 1 milligram per deciliter to 1.5 milligrams per deciliter. The initiation of prophylaxis should generally be predicated upon the ability to continue this prophylaxis until the resolution of ascites, liver transplantation, or death. On-again, off-again use of prophylaxis is not appropriate, as this may lead to selection of resistant organisms. Finally, short-term prophylaxis is indicated whenever a variceal bleed occurs. In the setting of variceal bleeding, the use of short-term SBP prophylaxis has been associated with significant improvements in survival. Next, we will review regimens for spontaneous bacterial peritonitis prophylaxis. Several different regimens have been studied and described in the literature. In the United States, ciprofloxacin is most often used for this purpose. And in the study shown in this slide, the SBP incidence at 6 months was significantly reduced when ciprofloxacin was used as a prophylactic agent. Regimens that have been studied include the use of ciprofloxacin 750 milligrams per week or dosed at ciprofloxacin 500 milligrams per day. In general, the study suggests that effectiveness is greater with the daily regimen versus the weekly regimen, though both are better than no prophylaxis at all. A number of studies also demonstrate the benefit of norfloxacin 400 milligrams per day in SBP prophylaxis. There are limited data showing that an alternative regimen might include trimethoprim sulfa double strength once per day. In the original study that demonstrated effectiveness of this regimen, patients were not dosed daily 7 days a week, but instead were dosed only on weekdays 5 days per week. However, many experts believe that if this regimen is utilized, then daily dosing would be indicated. This regimen is probably associated with a greater degree of drug-associated adverse events than the use of ciprofloxacin or norfloxacin. In summary, SBP and subsets of acidic fluid infections are defined by the acidic fluid cell count and the results following bacterial culturing of the acidic fluid. Several different antibiotic regimens are effective and available for treatment, and treatment typically is given for a minimum of 5 days. The use of albumin in patients with SBP improves survival, and prophylaxis with antibiotics reduces the risk of recurrent SBP in those that have had SBP.